The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The 16 to Kraft, the tight end with blocking. Kraft inside the 5 to the end zone. Touchdown. Tucker, Kraft. Savion Williams has got it. Williams getting the blocking to the pylon. Savion in for the touchdown. TJ screaming off the edge on third down. Love hit as he throws up for grabs. Caught! Kraft! Oh, on the run! Kraft pulling away! Still on his feet at the 30. What a run after the catch by Kraft all the way to the 26. The 319, you heard before that cadence. Rodgers deep drop. Nothing open. He's going down. Sack Micah Parsons. Number one got one. Pressure coming. He picked it up. Inside. Kraft's got it. At the 10. Kraft running away to the end zone. He has two touchdowns.
I do this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Lots of things to be excited about, proud of this morning as we celebrate a Packers victory. Victory Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. 35-25 the final in the Steel City. And, of course, Jordan Love on one side, Aaron Rodgers on the other. And Jordan Love got the best of that duel. In fact, the Packers outscored the Steelers 28-9 in the second half of that game. Jordan Love had a run of 20 straight completions, which was awesome to watch. I hated that he that one that ended the streak, by the way. Just like, don't. I was like, no, from my couch. But we are getting your reaction this morning as we continue talking about that and what Jordan Love showed yesterday. I think we watched Jordan Love grew up right before our eyes last night in the game. It was a statement win. It was a revealing win. And here's why I think it was big, guys. Because it wasn't so much Rodgers was on the other side, but that certainly was a part of it, right? You got the mentor. You got the mentee. For me, it was about how Jordan responded to the situation. You're on the road. I'd like to call it a hostile environment, from what Aaron Rodgers says, there were an awful lot of Green Bay Packers fans there who were making it difficult for him to do his job. But it was basically, guys, how he controlled the moment. Would it have shocked you if a Jordan Love from a past life had gone out there in the second half and done too much and put this team in a situation where they did end up walking out of there with a loss? No, it wouldn't have. But instead, he rose to the occasion. And for me, Gabe, that's what I needed to see as somebody who follows this team to say he is the guy, he can be the guy to lead this team on a Super Bowl run.
It's a career-high passer rating for him in a regular season game. Only game that he had a higher passer rating was the Cowboys playoff game a couple of seasons ago. It's the first time since 2023 that he's thrown for 300 yards in a game and the Packers have won. So I look at that as he had to, again, last year, the only 300-yard game he had was against the Vikings. They were down by a bunch, so you had to throw the ball. The fact that they won this game, they were playing through him. It wasn't a, oh, we have to throw the ball to try to get our way back into the. No, we have to throw the ball because this is the best way for our offense to function right now, is to put the ball in Jordan Love's hands and let him do what he does, which is, again, the 20 straight completions yesterday. And that was as good as Love has looked all season long. And not that I'm expecting him to go out there and have a 134, whatever, quarterback rating and be able to complete 20 in a row. But it's about, okay, now you have to find that level of consistency and prove that this is the way that this team should run. The identity of this team should be playing through the passing game, through Jordan Love.
Chu, did he show you anything last night? Did you see anything from Jordan Love where it opened your eyes to go, okay, I've been skeptical in the past, but he can lead this team to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, he was poised. You know, he didn't make, you know, because he does play well, but then he has a few bonehead plays. Last
yep.
night, he didn't have the bonehead plays. But he's got to stack these things, you know? You can't have a game like this and then go out and against – they're going to be playing another bad team against Carolina. So you go out and do the same thing you did against a bad defense, you know? You can only play who's on your schedule, you know? But he's got to stack this. This is another game – where LaFleur, work on the passing game because you're going to really need it the following week against the Eagles, okay? So I would expect him to do the same thing against Carolina. And the way you get noticed and the way you get votes for MVP and the way you make Pro Bowls is you beat Eagles. You beat Detroit. You beat Denver. No one cares that you beat Pittsburgh or Carolina. They want to see the big matchups head-to-head, and, you know, that is his next step to shine.
Can't say enough about how he's protected the football this year as well. Just the two interceptions. So in the first month of the season, the one, and the second month of the season, by the time he takes the field again, it will be November and we can start that calendar all over again. He said he did know that there would be an added level of pressure with facing Rodgers. He was well aware that he was going to be measured against his mentor and against the former Green Bay Packers quarterback, the future Hall of Famer. Here's what Matt LaFleur had to say after the game about what this performance meant.
Do for the organization, what's that?
Yeah, I think it's great for Jordan. Jordan's worked his ass off to get here. You know, he was patient throughout the process, throughout the journey, and he took advantage of the opportunity. He really did. And I thought, you know, it's been cool. I've said this many times, just to watch how he's matured as a young guy coming in here at 21 years old, and he's a grown ass man now, and you see it, what he does, how he carries himself. He just is so confident. He's a great teammate. He encourages the other guys. He's a hell of a leader, and he's really grown as a football player. And I think that I'm sure going into this game, I'm sure he put a lot on himself. And I thought he went out there, and he's just so consistent in who he is through the good times and the bad times. And, you know, I've seen him. There's moments where you can sense the frustration from him, but he keeps going. And I kind of, to be honest with you, I kind of like it when he gets a little pissed off, because you don't see it too often.
And that's the thing, guys. I think we are so accustomed to the Brett Favre personality, the Aaron Rodgers personality. Jordan Love's personality, Gabe, is so vastly different than those guys, except for in one place. And that's how competitive he is. You don't see it manifest the way you did with those predecessors. But this is a kid who wants to win. And to be able to have his best game of his career under those lights, under those circumstances, it showed me a lot about his makeup and who he is. And that's why I'm so much more confident this morning about him being the guy that can lead them to a Super Bowl.
I think from time to time, the calm demeanor, the level-headed demeanor has played against him, certainly in the past, where he doesn't have that fieriness that Brett or Aaron had.
Questions about his leadership have come up at times as well, how he has chosen to lead. That story came out this week with Rodgers saying he would fine Jordan when he was too quiet in meetings, right? Like, so there have been these criticisms or at least notifications about some of those things.
Yeah, because you do have to step up and be vocal at that position from time to time. But again, it's going to look different from Brett to Aaron to Jordan. And all these guys believe in Jordan now. Like, these guys are Jordan's guys. And you can see that the way that they kind of all rally around him and step up behind him, which leads to a victory, because it is a Victory Monday, brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. But the difference to me now is we knew that this version of Jordan Love existed. We've seen this version of Jordan Love.
Agree.
To Chewy's point, using the old Mike McCarthyism, you got to stack the successes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not expecting him to go out and light up the Carolina Panthers, because I guess I'm expecting them to run the ball more, try to work on that against a run defense that's pretty bad. But it's, okay, can you stack these and continue to look this good and not have those bumps in the road? You're not going to really play perfect. You're going to have a bad game between now and the end of the season. But how can you stack this and take this momentum forward for the rest of the season?
Well, and Chu, how concerned are you about a concept that we have talked about on this program of a trap game, right? You're saying that, you know, this is a team, unfortunately, that has at times played down to their competition or played to the level of their competition. You've got the Eagles looming, which is a big game, obviously, for a lot of reasons. Are you concerned about this being a trap game that they're headed into next week?
No, with trap games, I'm more I've always been more concerned if they played the Eagles this week and then beating them at home and then having a letdown game on the backside. This game doesn't really scare me, because they're better, you know, they're better, and you should beat teams that are better. And it doesn't always work out that way, but I'm not worried about this game whatsoever. I'd be more worried about the Giants game if they do wind up beating the Eagles at home. That scares me more, not this game.
Yeah. Giants are pretty beat up now. That's losing, they don't have their top wide receiver. Their preferred running back, who's been an emotional leader for them, is out for the rest of the season. I'm not as concerned about that. And can it be a trap game? And I guess maybe we do see we do see their quarterback position get a little bit healthier. But can it be a trap game if Andy Dalton's starting at quarterback for Carolina?
It can't and be a it's trap at game. Home.
Yeah,
it's at home.
And they've played so well. They've looked the best at home.
So soon you forget the Tommy DeVito legacy game.
That was on the road. It was on the road with Tommy.
I was chuckling at LaFleur because he kind of had potty mouth in that press conference. How happy is it that he stuck it to Rodgers? He was giddy. You talk about giddy.
Yeah,
listen to that again.
He's one of the guys who butt heads with Rodgers, certainly, and was not mentioned. I think if you listen to all of Aaron's comments in the run up, there were two people he really did not mention. Obviously, Goody.
Really?
And Matt LaFleur.
Really? Yeah. I didn't notice that. Huh.
All the different things that he did, talking to the Pittsburgh media, doing the little special Zoom that he did with the Packers media. Never mentioned LaFleur, never mentioned Goody.
Was there a hug before the game with LaFleur?
I did not see one, but that doesn't mean it didn't necessarily happen.
They did.
They did?
Yeah.
They did?
Remember
was it fake?
I mean, I was hard to... They were doing a cut-up. They were doing a little vignette
Josh,
there.
How do you not know if the hug between LaFleur and Rodgers was fake or real? How?
I mean, they looked like...
Josh defaults to everything with Rodgers is fake, so...
Yeah.
Surprised he just didn't say fake right away.
The fact that he's couching a little is interesting.
To the LaFleur-Rodgers thing, don't you remember right when he ended up with Sala? He made a lot of comments about, like, a head coach taking control, and he basically was insinuating Matt LaFleur didn't have control over the locker room, wasn't like the leader a football team needed, and I'm sure they're friendly, but both of them remember those comments.
Well, and if nothing else, Salah and LaFleur's relationship means there was a direct path to Matt LaFleur. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Don't forget, we have Rob Demoski coming up at the bottom of the hour to make sure to recap the Packers win and tell us what it means to him. Gabe?
When it comes to your home, the smart play, of course, is trusting Gina Della and the team at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. This month, you can score a whole house of new energy-efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month with 0% interest for up to 60 months. That's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping the drafts. They have a lot of customizable options, so make sure you stop in, take a look. They're going to be able to help out you and your home, especially if you're looking to upgrade those windows. Don't wait. Schedule that free consultation today. PellaWI.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How are you feeling, big guy, about the MRI?
It's starting to hurt now. I think I have mental issues. I really do.
Well,
gonna have to clip that.
Yeah,
for me?
That's
that just.
I mean,
just hold on to it.
I know. I don't think there's anything wrong. It's just I think it's something in my brain's telling me
something is wrong, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We've unfortunately reached that part of the year where it's starting to get cold outside. Some of these golf courses are going to be closing, but the best place to work on your game during the off-season, X-Golf inside American Family Field. But what's also cool about X-Golf, it's a great place to hold your holiday party. Unique space, unlike anything else in the city, because it's inside American Family Field. Beautiful view overlooking the field inside the ballpark. It's got the 7 simulators, so you can do stuff with that. Their pro, Andy Barrett, can set up games, different things for you to do to entertain during that party, or you can just hang out. The space is big enough to accommodate whatever you want to do. So find out more by going to xgolfamfamfield.com.
Asking you this morning what Jordan Love showed you in the 35-25 win over the Steelers last night. Maybe you were already completely on the Jordan Love bandwagon. Maybe you believed he was the guy who could lead the team to the Super Bowl. Maybe you were skeptical. I still have people weighing in the Carbless Talk and text line. Sean in the 262 included. Are we concerned with the two loft and prey passes? Either one of those could have been picked off. Concerned?
I wouldn't say concerned. I think that the one to Tucker Kraft was a calculated gamble. Of it was a one-on-one, and he trusts Tucker to go make that play. And the other one, he had to put a little bit of air under it to get it over the underneath defender, and Christian was able to get there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't look at that as bad as the interception or the interceptable ball that he threw against Detroit, where he just wafts it out there and the only person out there that could potentially make a play is the defender.
I think a decent defensive backfield picks off that Watson ball.
I mean, we say that about Jordan Love all the time now. Mm-hmm. That's been a thing we've been saying for 2 years. And at some point, calculated risks are just worth it. If you're going to be able to get such chunk yardage and in that spot, put it in a... He trusted his guys. Isn't that exactly what we want from him? We want Matt LaFleur to trust Jordan Love, so Jordan Love's going to also trust his... Like, Tucker Kraft is never losing one of those matchups to somebody. If the ball's in a spot where it's him or the other guy, it's either Tucker Kraft or incomplete. That's just how things are. And the Watson one, it was a little bit of a busted coverage, and he threw it up there and said, hey, getting us inside the 10 is going to be good enough. Doesn't have to be a perfect throw. I just need to get it there.
Ryan from Milwaukee says the floater to Kraft and the one to Watson could be boneheaded plays, but they went the Packers' way this time. Love has played consistently all year, but last night he took a big step in my mind.
Now, I'll fight anybody who wants to say the Tucker Kraft lob it out to Tucker is a boneheaded play. That's a calculated risk of, hey, I'm just going to put air underneath this, and Tucker's going to go make a play for me. That's because, again, the only there were two people on your screen, Tucker Kraft and a defensive back, and Tucker Kraft is, like Josh said, he's either winning that and coming down with it, or it's going to be an incomplete pass. That's what Tucker Kraft has proven to me at this point.
That one's fine, but the other one I don't want in a playoff game.
Even if he completes it?
Well, if they're playing a defensive backfield that's worth their salt, because if you watch the guy underneath, he's not good. You know, a good player, Xavier McKinney, probably makes that play.
Man, yeah, but Xavier McKinney is also like one of the top three safeties in the league.
That's what I'm saying. When you face a team in the playoffs.
Yeah, not everybody has a Xavier McKinney. Like, you played with the guy who made the most calculated gambles ever. I would think that you would get behind this idea of, hey, sometimes it's worth putting the ball in harm's way if you can get the chunk play out of it.
If it works out. That's what Holmgren used to yell at us. You draw it up in the dirt, it better work. Because if it doesn't, you're going to get yelled at.
I guess we just know so much about how chunk plays win you games.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And lose.
Yeah, if you give up the chunk play.
And didn't we say they're one of the best teams in the league this year with explosive plays? Like,
yeah,
that's
is
what
the
we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Kevin weighing in saying, I think the biggest play that shows Jordan's growth is instead of throwing the ball up for a pick six, he throws it to the ground. That from Kevin in Racine. I do think that you have seen that a lot more this season where Jordan is facing pressure and rather than just like hope there's somebody in the vicinity, he's like, no, I'll throw it away. I'll live to play another day, another down. We have talked about that, and I do think we have seen a lot more of that this season. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy because we have Rob Domofsky coming up. Always love our time with Rob Domofsky. Yes, I having some people talk about the officiating last night and how it was questionable. There was a lot of stuff.
A league-wide problem.
There was a lot of stuff I didn't understand. There were a few things where I was like,
that offsides, heaven.
That was awful.
What was that?
Oh, my God.
Caught a break.
He's in motion 3 seconds before the ball is snapped. But, hey, absolutely. Well, I guess you can be in motion 3 seconds before the ball is snapped, but there's that window where he was moving. Lots of things that were questionable last night, but in the end, the Packers get the victory, and that is all that matters this morning on a Victory Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Rob Domofsky coming up next.
Boost culture with captivating corporate events like appreciation parties, brand activations, and more with our friends at Events by Design. The creative team at Events by Design truly enjoys the work they do, believing every event should not just be successful but fun and one that people will still talk about years later. That's what we're talking about, captivating corporate events, boosting your culture, retaining top talent by investing in that culture. You can do that with Events by Design because they implement fresh ideas in every detail from planning to production. Whether it's a holiday party, an anniversary celebration for your company, Events by Design is going to be able to come up with fun ideas and execute them for you. So just search online, Events by Design. They design, you party.
Josh, I love the intros, but man, that's last year's intro.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
Oh,
yeah. Hey.
Once again, Rob.
He's cracking the lip.
We did this last time. You have to speak on the show for me to give you an intro.
You know what? You're right.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I feel like a jerk. I really do. Like, that was terrible.
It's Rob Domofsky on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Please pleased and fortunate to have Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a day when we are calling Jordan Love's performance fantastic, a statement win, a revealing win, an identity-revealing win for the green and gold. Rob, your reaction to the 35-25 win last night in Steel City?
Oof. I mean, where do you start? It was such a difference of really the first three quarters and the last quarter, or maybe two and a half quarters and a quarter and a half, that I mean, there was a time at halftime where I was thinking to myself, man, should Matt LaFleur give up play calling? Like, you know, and the way it turned out, it was a totally different feeling afterwards. So many different stats that can describe this one, so many different plays that went a certain way that changed the game. But, like, here's this. The Packers were down, what, 16-7 at halftime, right? And, yep. And they won by 10. That's the largest margin of victory in a game where they trailed by at least 9 points since 1982. So that's an incredible turnaround.
No, and it could have been more, Rob, because the touchdown the Steelers scored to make it 10 was kind of garbage time.
Garbage time, yeah, exactly. Total garbage time, and you know, it's, and then obviously stopping a 2-point play there and ended it. But yeah, just a really a remarkable turnaround for a team that looked like it had nothing going on offense, looked like Keyshawn Nixon couldn't do anything right, and both of those things changed in the second half.
Rob, two-part question here. What does it tell us, the fact that Nate Hobbs played 4 plays last night against a very average receiving core, and do you believe that they will trade for a corner at the deadline?
I'll take the first part, or the second part first, Chewy. I would sure think that has to be at the top of Brian Gutekunst's list. I think it took some guts on the coaching staff's part to make the change. Carrington Valentine, I'd been saying it for months that, you know, he had such a good training camp and they were not using him enough, and Nate Hobbs was struggling. And I can't remember, Chewy, if we talked about this on your show this last week, or if it was on, might have been on with KBN, but like, Nate Hobbs was a slot cornerback. That's sort of what he had been most of his career, and they tried to play him on the outside, and it hasn't worked, and it didn't work. So, you know, the other thing I think it tells us is that you can't always believe what the coaches say publicly, because last week it was, Nate Hobbs is going to bounce back. He's going to be out there, and he's going to be better. Well, he didn't play at all early in the game, and they played dime like 1 or 2 snaps, and then he filled in for 1 or 2 snaps. I mean, those are his four snaps last night, and that's, you know, the signing of him and Aaron Banks were interesting at the time, and may not, you know, pan out to be among Goody's best free agent signings.
Rob, do the Packers have to change their identity offensively? Last year, because of the injury to Jordan Love, they discovered, hey, we can run the ball really well, and they kept doing that, riding the, you know, to 11 wins. The running game has struggled, and after the way Jordan played in the second half, should this be a pass-first offense where you pass to set up that run, and hopefully then Josh Jacobs can take over in the fourth quarter with a lead?
Yeah, I mean, Gabe, 2 points here. One, you can't just take last year's game plan and change the year and do it again. So I guess, even though I was questioning whether Matt LaFleur should be calling plays, I do give him credit for, you know, finding different ways and not just trotting out the same plan. However, I think their identity should be get the ball to your best playmakers. And Tucker Kraft is your best playmaker. You know, Matthew Golden, you know, has the potential to be, and you know, obviously Christian Watson, getting him back, and a little bit of Dobbs. Like, get those guys the ball. You know, this whole, we're going to throw to the open guy and we're going to go through our progressions. Well, how about making Tucker Kraft the number one progression more often? How about making, or number one in the progression more often? How about getting Matthew Golden the ball in space where he can use his speed? Like, to me, that's where this team's identity needs to be. It needs to, you know, go back to a little bit of the Davante Adams, Jordy Nelson type of situation. They're your best players. Get them the football as much as possible.
Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Rob, who had the best game defensively? I know there's always going to be a lot of attention on Micah Parsons, and he obviously did get to the quarterback. But you saw a number of guys. I mean, Edgerrin Cooper had a stretch there where he was making every tackle in his area. Who stood out to you defensively for the Packers last night?
Yeah, you know, Keyshawn Nixon. No, I'm just kidding.
Could have paid me $1 million. Would not have thought you would guess that and you'd say that.
Yeah, this is underrated, but, you know, Quay Walker did something, or I guess more accurately, didn't do something that he might have done in the past, and that was retaliate, you know, when he got, I believe he got poked in the eye.
That's what it looked like.
What was he thinking, DK Metcalf, with the eye poke and then the face mask grab?
And real quick on DK Metcalf, like, that's why the Packers were never trading for DK Metcalf. He's got a history of meltdowns, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, he had a meltdown against the Packers a couple of years ago.
That is correct.
And got himself into trouble. So, like, I just want to – Quay Walker maybe didn't make, like, the biggest play in the game, but he made a big play that, by not doing something stupid and retaliating, which, let's be honest, Quay Walker has done in his young past.
Not just to other players, career. But to members of training staffs.
Of training staffs, yeah. But that aside, you know, I think obviously Rashawn Gary was really, really good. Micah Parsons called Rashawn Gary the defensive player of the game, and Micah Parsons knows more about defense than I do, so I'll take his word for it. But you're right about Edgerrin Cooper. That's, you know, sort of a vintage Edgerrin Cooper performance in terms of just being around the football. I mean, he had a couple of pass breakups that were really good. I don't know if he actually got credit for them, but just in coverage, the way, you know, he was down the field. Actually, looking at the box score, he did not even get credit for a single pass breakup, but I thought his coverage was outstanding. So a really good defensive performance, especially when you consider in the first half, the Packers offense was doing nothing, and at least the Packers defense was holding the Steelers the field goals on, what, those three of those possessions. I mean, Pittsburgh outscored them 4 times to 1 in the first half, and if those are touchdowns, it could have been disastrous.
Rob, would you be surprised before the deadline if they moved Wicks or Dobbs? Because when Reed comes back, they have too many receivers.
Yeah, I don't think they moved Dobbs, Chewy. I really don't. I mean, he's just too big a part of the offense in terms of the where Jordan seems to like to go with the football. What did he have last night? Six targets, I believe. Now I had him for 2 drops. Our ESPN staff people had him with 0 drops. I think they're way, way, way too nice. I thought he should have had the back shoulder one on the sideline. Maybe the ball wasn't thrown exactly perfect. And then I thought the first third down was also a drop, although we did not. I do think Wicks could be moved, but here's the thing. Wicks has to be healthy, right, to be moved, and we're getting to that time where if you're not healthy, no one's going to trade for you, and he didn't play, obviously, with the calf injury. I believe it was calf. Maybe it wasn't calf. It was calf in training camp. I can't remember what it was now. I've seen that Kingsley and Igbare could be someone the Packers would trade. I don't think they're sellers. I think, if anything, like we talked about off the top, they're looking for a corner, and I think they go try to get one with a draft pick. But that's the way I would see it, Chewy. They need to add to this team, not take away. Mm-hmm. Because, look, I know you're right. They do right now have too many receivers if those guys are healthy. But you know as well as anybody that you get 2 or 3 injuries, and sometimes they come in bunches at the same position. Then you don't want to be giving away guys like that.
I guess I just look at it like this, though, in terms of that receiver room, Rob, because we know Goody loves the draft picks. They already do not have a first-round pick because of the Micah Parsons trade. Yep. Would he want to replenish whatever mid-round pick he would be giving up to get a corner in order to kind of keep some of those picks? Because, again, Goody's got to keep that long-term plan out, and you're going to have to start backfilling that wide receiver position, because a lot of those decisions on those guys have to be made this year and next year.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you on that, but you know, you're also thinking, Romeo Dobbs is going to probably get you a nice compensatory pick. I don't know that.
I'm with you in terms of Dobbs, like especially if you factor in, Rob, the fact that Goody went to LaFleur before he pulled the trigger on the Parsons trade, going, hey, I want to make sure everybody's on the same page here. The way that LaFleur puts Dobbs in, like it's an over my dead body type of situation, the way that Dobbs plays with Matt LaFleur. Yeah. So I'm looking at more of a Wicks situation.
But Rob, they're going to have to pay Tucker Kraft before the start of next season, kind of like they paid Tom. And if he's going to get 20-something million, you can't have 20-something million receivers. They got to be like low teens. So don't you think there's a chance they bring Dobbs back at like a Christian Watson number?
If that's the number, maybe, but I'm sure Dobbs is probably thinks he can get more, and maybe he can. Like, that's the whole thing. He's an interesting one because, you know, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, he's not a number one receiver. And what do number two receivers make? Well, it's getting more expensive. Like, it's getting the prices is climbing for those guys. So that'll be an interesting one. My suspicion is that he's not, you know, not back, but they get a nice fourth round compensatory pick for him. But with Wicks, what has Wicks done to prompt anybody to give up much more than like a six or a seven? Everybody thinks, oh, you can get a four. Well, that seems to give up a lot less, especially at the trade deadline. Like, I mean, those picks are not usually very high.
Rob, what's the biggest area of growth you've seen from Jordan Love?
Oh, I wouldn't have said this probably a couple of weeks ago, but the way he was dealing last night, I mean, the accuracy, although I do think the one that Tucker Kraft caught on the 59-yarder was, I mean, could have easily been intercepted because he chucked it up in the air, Jen, and, you know, put the ball a little bit in harm's way, and I think Tuck did a pretty good job pushing off to get the ball before, you know, it could be picked off. And the way the officiating was last night, I mean, you probably, you know, they weren't calling things that you thought they should call. So I guess it was pretty good play on Kraft's part. But I do think he's shown that once he gets into a rhythm, you know, he can be really sharp. I mean, the thing is, we need to see it more often from him. His previous long consecutive completions in a game was only 11. He almost doubled it last night.
Wow.
Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, talking Jordan Love, talking green and gold. Rob, we appreciate you. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. See you next week.
Hopefully for another Victory Monday, which is brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, and Screaming Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer.
Hey, it's Milwaukee listeners. Josh DiMaggio here for my friends at Wanna Parlay, my favorite daily fantasy sports app with the absolute largest payouts on parlays. You've heard me talk about them before, but with the football season here, it is time to play. I'm looking at Xavier Worthy to score an anytime touchdown today, Breshard Smith over 1.5 receptions, Patrick Mahomes over 4.5 rushing attempts, and the Dodgers to win the game tonight. Here's what you should do. Download the Wanna Parlay app, click around, and when you decide to upload money to play and get into the action, use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match for up to $250. Download the Wanna Parlay app, use promo code JGC, and let's play the world's richest parlay today. You must be 18 years or older to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen, has college football gotten a little sleazy? Where you can recruit
gotten?
A little?
No, I'm saying from the standpoint, it used to be.
That was good.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, let's talk about it on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by BetterHelp. Mental health is health. Visit BetterHelp.com/timeout for 10% off your first month of therapy. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. Chewy, we're watching Get Up here in the studio. It's on the televisions above our head. And it just said that the Packers have the best chance, right? It was a 20% chance, Gabe, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
To be the NFC representative in the Super Bowl ahead of all the other suspects that you might think, ahead of the Eagles, ahead of the Rams, ahead of the Lions. What do you think about that after the win last night?
I think it's fair, but I wouldn't put those other teams too far behind.
And they're not. So the Packers were 20% chew. The Eagles were 18. The Lions were 17. I think the Rams were 15. And then it drops off at 10% for Tampa Bay.
I mean, it's all going to come down the home field, and we talked about it earlier in this season where the dominance at home feels like it's starting to come back to what it used to be with the energy they do play there. Last night was good because the energy was good. So, yeah, it's fair. It's fair putting them at the top of the heap.
I think people recognized after watching the second half of that game that, again, you have to take all of the circumstances that were at play. You're on the road. You're playing against Aaron Rodgers. All of the narrative that went into that. You're down at the half. We have talked about it. 16-7 at the half. They come back to win 35-25. Like, a previous version of Jordan Love, guys, doesn't handle that situation, mm-hmm. doesn't handle all that that threw at him. And yet he just methodically and calmly found his receivers, moved the chains, put them in scoring position to the tune of a 10-point victory. And that's why I'm saying that performance, if he can duplicate it, if he can consistently be that guy, wow, Katie, bar the door. This is a team that absolutely could represent the NFC in the Super Bowl game.
Yeah, it's about that consistency now. He's shown that he can play at an incredibly high level. He's done that a number of times. He just hasn't proven that he can do it on the consistent basis, and that's what the best quarterbacks in the league do. But again, it's easier to do that. Going back to what Rob said, it's easier to do that when you decide as a play caller, hey, let's get the ball in the hands of our best playmakers. That makes everybody look better.
Yeah, the difference so far between this year and last year is there were really no big wins for Jordan Love, and this year he probably has two, Lions and Commanders. That's the difference between this year and last year. Like I said, no one cares if you beat Carolina. You're supposed to beat them. People want to see what you do against the Eagles, what you do against the good teams in the league, and that'll be the difference. And you know, Rob echoed what we said. You got to stack these things. You got to stack them. You got to, you know, you can have a crapper every now and then, but for the most part, you got to be consistent and play like that week in and week out.
And we'll talk about
they're going to have another crapper between now and the end of the season.
Oh, I know
I can promise you that. Like,
but
that's just going
to
happen.
I prefer if it not come next week because I want you to be able to build on the momentum of this victory headed into that game against the Eagles. And I will also say this, guys. Don't take your foot off the gas. What I'd like to see from this Packers team going forward, and especially this upcoming week as you're facing a subpar opponent, just kill them. Crush them. Don't even make it a question. Don't even get in these situations where you're like, oh, I don't know. We got to put together a heroic performance in the second half. Go out there, win by 30, turn your attention to the Eagles. That's what I'd like to see. Will Dee and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. It is a Victory Monday. They'll be talking green and gold on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.